with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been given the tawfiq and the ability by Allah to do His dhikr, to remember Him. And because this is a gathering of dhikr, of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, and mostly the people who are in this majlis are those who are linked to the dhikr of Allah or who do the dhikr of Allah. So in this gathering, in this majlis regularly or mostly, the discussion takes place with regards to the rewards of dhikr or the fadail, the virtues of dhikr, for two reasons. Because those who do the dhikr of Allah, who remember Allah, so that they can do more dhikr of Allah. They can increase their dhikr of Allah and understand the importance of Allah's remembrance and not become lazy. And those individuals who are far from dhikr or don't do dhikr or their minds don't hold that much importance or esteem with regards to this amal, this ibadah, this worship. So when they heard the Quran and the hadith and the verses, the blessed verses, so that they can also have an increased desire. So this is also an objective, that they start to do the dhikr of Allah, so they also have the desire and the keenness to do dhikr after hearing the importance of it. The pious elders have stated that in a certain time or place when nasiha is given, and especially in a majlis, in a gathering where a pious elder is giving nasiha, is explaining something, the advice is coming to us, reaching to us, and after sitting in his majlis, in the gathering, after hearing the nasiha, and after listening time and time again, and there's no change in that person's life, then it seems as if that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the padlock or the seal on that person's heart of being totally unfortunate, that no nasiha is benefiting that person, and he hasn't gone forward one footstep. He hasn't had an increase nor of desire, nor is there desire or keenness. The Quran does not have any effect on him, nor do the hadith. And this is a big sign. And this is the sign of badbakhti, you could say, of a person who is unfortunate, who is not benefiting. But if there's a person who's coming to the majlis, listening, attending, hearing, and after listening, his heart accepts, and he does amal, practices on what he hears, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sends the mercies onto that person. The doors of Allah ta'ala's mercy open on that person. Why? Because this is not a small thing, that with the grace and blessings of Allah, everything occurs. And if Allah ta'ala is saving us from hellfire and showing us the path to paradise, and Allah Ta'ala allows us to hear the Quran and the hadith, and Allah gives us a majlis, a gathering, and a person doesn't even respond, is not interested, and just listens and goes like a rock on the heart. But that rock on which, or on those stones or soil where water falls and not a plant comes out, and there's no effect, then what will be the value of that rock or that earth? Nothing. But that earth which is dry, barren, and the rain falls down, and then the plants come out, they sprout out, the flowers, there's value on that end. So if we see that there's something that looks nice, but inside there's nothing, it's hollow. So let's do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala sends us to a majlis, allows us to sit down in the majlis. First we should think that this majlis, coming here, sitting here, reaching here, is only due to the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, the mercy of Allah. Otherwise, there are many restrictions today in life, many obstacles, many distractions that can stop us from attending or taking part in this majlis and going to the majlis or the gathering of Allah, where Allah Ta'ala's deen is spoken about, where Allah Ta'ala is mentioned. There are many paths, many routes, many ways, many methods, many obstacles that can stop us coming here. But Allah Ta'ala has broken down all of those obstacles and allowed us, insan, to attend this majlis. Imagine this. So, because this is a gathering of dhikr, again, a nice thought, a point has come into my mind. It's beneficial for me and will be for you as well. So let's listen to this carefully. And those who don't do dhikr, then straight away start to and initiate dhikr in your life. And this is the reality. And those who do dhikr of Allah, who are a little bit lazy or negligent, have reduced what they should do, then create a stronger attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the dhikr of Allah, we speak about it quite often. We discuss a hadith and Allah Ta'ala's verses, and there are great rewards, great unique rewards for the dhakireen, for those who remember Allah. And a point, remember this in your mind, that when I speak about dhikr of Allah, this does not mean that I am, you can say, demoting other ibadat. Actually, I'm not saying don't read Quran, don't read nafil, don't recite Quran, don't do tilawah, don't go on tabligh. Many people get this misconception very quickly, because obviously we are in this majlis of dhikr, so we're going to speak about dhikr. Now, if we go to a nikah majlis, and obviously in the nikah, if someone says to me, oh, you kept on speaking about nikah in the nikah gathering, you didn't speak about the shop or the business or transactions. Of course I won't then, will I? Obviously if it's a nikah gathering, I'll speak about things related to nikah. So it doesn't mean that we start bringing all other masail into that gathering. Or it doesn't mean that I've rejected all the other masail. No. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this majlis, it's a dhikr gathering, islahi gathering. That's why we speak mostly about dhikr here. And if we look at, you can see the root sort of reason that, for example, when you see an advert for a majlis that today there will be a gathering and Hazrat will come and he will speak about this. So if it's the night of Laylatul Barat, then we'll say, we're going to speak about Laylatul Barat today. And tonight there's a gathering, there'll be some masail. But if I bring up other points, then all the people come and say, I'm disheartened that we saw the advert that, or the poster that's about Laylatul Barat. So what is this gathering for? This is the gathering of dhikr. Dhikr Allah. I can't hear you clearly. Say loudly. Dhikr Allah. That's right. So if this is the gathering, the maqsad, the objective. So if we're sitting here listening. So those who will come, they think, we're going to go to the dhikr majlis. We're going to sit down. We're going to listen. So what are we going to speak about? Mostly dhikr of Allah. So are we reducing or saying that other things, other subjects or other parts of the deen are not important? No. But many people, they go off on the wrong track. They say, he doesn't speak about anything else. Whenever we hear him, all he does is talk about dhikr. We went to the majlis and he doesn't speak about any other masail. He doesn't tell us solutions to other things. So let me just clear this point, that according to the objective here, the reason we're here, that's what we'll speak about. Now if you give me some other reason, objective, fadail sahaba, then see what we speak about then. Then it will be like we are wandering around in Madinatul Manawara with the sahaba. And if you don't feel that, then tell me. So it's all about the point why we are here. What's the reason we're here? What's the point we're here? What's the objective we're here? For the dhikr of Allah. So we will mostly speak about dhikr of Allah. You are here, I am here, we're sat here, we're discussing this. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to think of another beautiful point here about the ni'mah that is linked to the dhikr. And there's a great reward that is attained by remembering Allah, by doing dhikr of Allah. And we cannot get this by any other action or ibadah. And it's a massive ni'mah, massive reward of Allah. And I'll prove this from the hadith and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam, that here we are here, we're remembering Allah. We've heard many times about the rewards of dhikr, the virtues of dhikr, and that's why we are regular in doing this, that we have got a bit of a passion and a desire. Now today I will say this point, that the person who does the dhikr of Allah, alongside doing the dhikr of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a special characteristic in that person, a special effect. And if we don't do dhikr of Allah, no other action will create that effect or characteristic within us. And all our amal, they are dependent on this characteristic and feeling within us that is a result of doing dhikr. Rather, all of our amal, the roots of our amal depend on this characteristic. It will become the root of our salah, the root of our ibadat. This characteristic quality will affect, benefit all of our deeds. For example, if somebody likes to read a lot of Quran, it will benefit that. If somebody likes to do a lot of fasting, it will benefit that. If somebody has a lot of desire to stand and pray salah a lot, it will benefit that. If somebody wants to do a lot of dua, it will benefit that. It's such a quality. And if somebody likes to have emotion and remember Allah, it will give him this increase in that ibadah. So we see that the effect, and especially a person will have the effect that he won't want to go towards the sins. Allahu Akbar. The Alhamdulillah, very clearly a person will start to see the sins, identify the sins and leave the sin. What is that characteristic, that effect? Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that in the Quran, that only the dhakirin, those who remember Allah, can have this. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَقَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What does Allah Ta'ala mention first? Allah Ta'ala mentions the action of dhikr. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. That those who remember Allah, that Allah says, those who remember Allah, standing, sitting and lying down. In other words, every moment, every second of the day, those people who spend the time remembering Allah, pondering about Allah, thinking about Allah. They're every second, all day long, whatever posture they're in, standing, sitting, lying down, standing, sitting, walking, moving, whatever they're doing, every second of their life is remembrance of Allah. They're not ghafileen. They're not the ghafiloon. They don't neglect Allah. They don't forget Allah. Then Allah says after that, those who do the dhikr of Allah, وَيَتَفَقَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمْ. That when a person starts to do dhikr and is busy in dhikr, and that sister, brother, man, woman, they are doing dhikr regularly, then Allah says, I give them a reward. وَيَتَفَقَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says, I create a sift within them, a quality, attribute with them, that they start to do fikr. They start to ponder and reflect and think. And what is this a result of? When they do dhikr. So when a person does dhikr, he comes into abundance of dhikr, then a nur, a light of fikr comes into that person, a light of fikr and worry comes into that person's life. And what is that fikr that that person does? That insan that already, he is lost in tafarqat and remembering and thinking. So when the person who does the dhikr, when he does fikr, when he remembers Allah, what is it that the person thinks about? Standing, sitting, eating, mal, worry. This is what we do all the time, isn't it? During the day. Walking, talking, standing, sitting. We have this worry, kids, wife, shop, business, transactions. Our whole life passes with these fikr, with these worries, with these concerns. Now, if a person departs from the world, this world, with all of these worries burdening him, then he's going to leave this world without success. But these worries are ingrained in our heads and hearts when we sleep. We have these worries when we wake up. Straight away we have worries about dunya. Oh, I had to go and do this job. I had to take money from this person. I owed him this much. This child had this thing to do. Give this form in. I had to run the shop to prepare for this person's wedding, this function, this event. A whole life center point, focal point, is on the worries of the life. But what is the worry we have? Fikr-e dunya. We have worry of the world. World, dunya, dunya, world. Temporary things. When we pray, we're worried about dunya. When we're doing ibadah, we're worried about dunya. When I'm doing tawaf, I'm worried about dunya, about my life. If I'm doing dua somewhere, I'm worried about dunya. Every time I'm worried about dunya, because we live in the dunya. We live in this world. The environment of the dunya is around us. We're lost in the world. And Allah Ta'ala says that there's no dirtier place than the dunya. Impure. When you go to an impure place, then the impurities will come onto us. And totally, openly, the effects from morning till evening, you can experience yourself. That 2-3 hours, if you go and stand in the shopping center and start talking, you come back, you will see the feeling, your difference of your feeling. The effect of the dunya will have come onto you. If you go to another impure place, sit there, stand there, listen to people, someone swearing or laughing, mocking others, backbite. You see sometimes that quite a few days, if you haven't gone to a place, rather a year you haven't gone to a place, say, by chance I had to go Trafford Center. It was Trafford Center. I used to hear that I had to go there. Regards to the eyesight, and I said, oh, Trafford Center, somebody said, and I hadn't gone there by chance. Then when I went there, oh, it was ajeeb, weird feeling that what dunya have I come into? Where am I? And what's the reason that a person hasn't gone there? And the effects, he doesn't know of that place, of the dunya. He doesn't know the bad effects, the negative effects. He hasn't seen it, he hasn't experienced it, he hasn't physically been there. So what will he see when he hasn't gone there? There was a weird feeling. I felt desperate to get out of there. The people are running around left, right. And there's a jeep, like weird feeling that overcame me at that time when I went there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in the same way, tafakkarat, that this dunya is all the life is like this. And when we live in the world, then it physically comes into us and spiritually. And if I die in this position, that I'm totally overwhelmed by the dunya, the worries and the love and the attractions of the dunya, then it'll be a bad ending to the life. So this fikr, to flip it, to eliminate it, to remove it, to replace it, and we should replace it, we should remove it. Do we want to die like this? With extreme worry of the dunya, that while we're dying, we're thinking world and materialism, etc. And we can't get out of that trap. We're drowned in this, and these can't just come out automatically. There's a system Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. If you follow my system, I will eliminate the worry of the dunya from your heart. Allah says, wajahadu. Make effort. You keep trying. You make an effort. Wajahadu fina. Then I will show you the path. Allah Ta'ala says, I will show you the path. So that, because you can't get the path to success in the bed. Now if we know that we're going to die, we realize that, accept that we're going to depart from here, we are going to leave here, then the end of life, when a person dies with iman, is that the last time, Allah, I want my last moments to be good so I can succeed, otherwise all my ibadah will be finished. There are many people in life They explain their desires that, Allah, I want to be a good person. Allah, allow me to die and be buried in Jannatul Baqi, in Medina. Allah, give me a place in Baqi. I can be buried there. Who doesn't have this desire? Many people, they keep sitting there. They don't leave there. Many people, they don't leave there. But they don't get that nisbah. They don't get that. Just some reason, they had to go to Karachi and they pass away there. They couldn't pass away, for example, in Medina if they were there most of the time. Rather, the whole life was passed there. And some people, that, for example, 1 or 2 weeks before, you see that person and he says, I want to die and be buried in Jabal. And somebody said to you, he will die and be buried in Baqi, in Hazrat Uthman, they say, oh, are you crazy? Him? Look at that person. You'll see, look at his face. How can you explain this? You won't trust that. But just after a few seconds, the announcement's made that he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. In Baqi, he is shaheed there in a car accident. He was driving. So this is the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala's system. What tawbah he must have done whilst doing tawaf, or in his heart something must have come, or nur Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have instilled into his heart. That one, every second of a person's life is very valuable, very beneficial. You know, the life that is made, success doesn't come over years, it comes within seconds, within moments. That's why I stated, every second keep your heart in your control. We don't know which second Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah will come into that heart. Never think, oh, I'm a waste. Oh, I'm going to focus towards dunya and I'm going to forget Allah. Maybe that second has come where you had to attain success. It could happen in a second. Maut, death will come in a second. How long does it take for the heart to stop? Here, somebody sitting, does it take? They keep pumping and the blood, to pump the blood around the heart. And there the blood went in, but it didn't come out. Heart attack. Breathe in, but didn't breathe out. How long does it take? Split second. So we think, oh, there'll be a heart attack, then the heart will go up, then we'll get the machine on them, we'll resuscitate the person. No, because Malikul Maut, the angel of death, will come suddenly. Within a second, he wants to fulfill his action, and within a second, he will extract the ruh, and he'll salute you. Salam, like that. He'll salute, that's it. Many people like this. It's here, they're breathing, and he's here. And this hal, you know, they're doing something, their hand is here, and then the death comes. They're doing something in this hand and then their heart stops. This is it. In our pastime. So 1 second of a person's life is very valuable. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So Allah is saying that fikr is a very great action, that it covers the whole of the heavens and earth. That the person who does fikr, who worries about his life, that he looks at everything, you could say, with a long vision. I tell you about a pious predecessor and the people before us who did this. Because what did they do? They had fikr in their hearts. They had a nur. And in that nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them basira. Allah gives them vision. And that spreads through their heart and their life. The fikr. So shall I tell you how great is dhikr? So now we understand, by doing dhikr, remembering Allah, there's an effect. The effect is that we do fikr, we start to have worry about our life in the hereafter, and then we come onto the right path. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand? Then maybe you should go somewhere else there, sit there, and maybe you'll understand better if you don't understand what I'm saying. If you don't. So when a person does dhikr, it's a very straightforward point I'm making. When a person remembers Allah, then Allah Ta'ala instills an attribute, a quality into that person's heart and mind, which is that he starts to do fikr, tafakkarat, worrying, pondering, reflecting life. That at the moment we worry in the morning, I've got to go there, I've got to do business, I've got a transaction, I've got a court case, I've got to go in this meeting appointment. These are the worries we have at the moment. These are the worries of the dunya. And if we die in this state, totally overwhelmed by dunya, then the person will die with fikr dunya. And Allah will say that you shouldn't have died like this. You should have passed away in a different way. When you come to me with a totally zero fikr of dunya, not even an iota, atom's way, totally clean, remove it. How hard it looks at the moment, doesn't it? But Allah Ta'ala has told us the tariqah, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا. Why don't you remember me, Allah says? Why don't you do my dhikr? If you want to flip and move away from the worry of the dunya and remove all of the worries of the world from your heart to the worry of the hereafter, if you want to die with the worry, do you want this? Do you want to die with worry of the hereafter? Yes, then why do we worry about the dunya all the time? Allah says, then do my dhikr. Remember me, there's a reason for doing dhikr. There are reasons, motives. Allah says, I've put beautiful solutions and cures in the dhikr. Okay, there is reward for doing dhikr, and we know that many times. But the person who does dhikr in abundance, who starts to do dhikr, alhamdulillah, with the praise be to Allah, then Allah creates that fikr in his heart. Now we do a bit of dhikr, don't we? And see, has fikr not come into our hearts? Has fikr come into your hearts? Has it not? And what did this arise due to? When we didn't do fikr, dhikr, did you have fikr and worry about your hereafter before that? No. But that fikr has come now. So you're sat here, bear witness to that. You testify to that. So when a person does more dhikr, starts to do dhikr, when he does abundance of dhikr, a lot of dhikr, then a person develops noor in his heart. The noor increases in his heart due to doing fikr, due to doing worry, due to doing worry. And when the noor of fikr increases, then it overwhelms what? The worry of the dunya. It overwhelms it, it removes it, rubs it out, erases it. There was a person, I'll give you an example, he was a millionaire, factories, manufacturing plants, worrying, work, dunya. His hand went into the hand of a darvesh or a wali of Allah. He started doing dhikr of Allah. Nothing else. He started doing dhikr. And wali didn't say to him, leave this, leave that action, dunya. There's no need to say leave this or leave the dunya, etc. No need. Will you say it to somebody? For example, he's got a cough, that here's the cough medicine, drinking, and the stop coughing. You don't need to tell him that. Obviously, the cough will have its effect. Drink the medicine, we know that it will remove the cough, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala has given dhikr, Allah has given worry. And he was so rich, he was worrying about the world. And after a long time, I met him, subhanallah. And the fikr had gone, worry of the world had gone. And he had the khawf, the fear of Allah in his heart, the points about deen. And when Rasulullah's name would be mentioned, tears would come from his eyes. That same person, when you speak about Medina to him, he would start shrieking and snobbing. He would cry. And he's sitting in his factory, and the person's in the dunya, and his business is running and flourishing, but his life changed. His hayya changed. What changed? Not physically outside, but inside his life changed. And they're like idols for him now. He's saying, it's okay if my business is running nicely, positive, negatively. He's working. He didn't throw his factory away. Didn't stop his factory, close it down. Yes, his business is running in the same way, but his fikr changed. He came out of the worry of the world and he went towards the worry of the akhirah hereafter. And this is the name of piety. There's no riyah, no showing off, no pride in the person's character becomes like this. Due to what? Due to doing dhikr first and foremost. You'll see him walking around, he's doing his business, running his transactions. But he does, his worry and concerns and thoughts are more now towards thereafter. If his business is running good, fine. If not, no problem. If there's a big loss, no problem. No problem. No regret or crying. And if he's getting a big profit, no great exclamation or happiness. Fine. Alhamdulillah. Allah's given me the benefit. If it's running nicely, with the fadl of Allah, it's running. And I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I need to do. I don't worry about it too much. And the person who's not worried about life, he can't sleep. I've seen a person, he had less, £5 less turnover, Christmas time or the busy time. Oh, last year, we definitely compare to the last year. Astaghfirullah. Always we compare. Do we ever compare about our rewards and our life in the hereafter to the last year? This is fikr, isn't it? This is the worry. What is the fikr? That suddenly we should take out the sheet. That last year my accounts, and this year I had £5 more last year. Why did I earn less this year? Why is there less turnover? Okay, if it's gone up a bit or a little bit, what will I get due to the difference? But I have so much worry, and I'm counting, analysis, spreadsheet, counting, plus, minus. Ah, this was the action. This stock item, this caused the loss, £100 less. And you ask him, oh, I didn't get the enjoyment I'd last year. I made £100 more last year. I don't have the enjoyment now. Same business they're doing year on year on year. And then if you ask him, no, they know the previous year I had the turnover, that was better. And then the previous year to that was better. And no, the year before that was even better due to these reasons. I don't know what year was the good one for him. What is this? Tafakkarati dunya. Pondering and worrying about dunya. And if we die in this way, tell me, what is that insan's position going to be? Read astaghfirullah, everyone. May Allah Ta'ala not give us a death like this. And who is going? Who is departing? How many people are dying? All the people are dying with this fikr. Those who don't do dhikr of Allah are dying with this fikr. Who's saying this? Quran tells us. Allah says, don't do dhikr, okay, fine. But you will die with the worry of the world. Allah says, I don't need your dhikr. I don't need your tasbihat. I don't need your rosary beads. I don't need your maraqabat. I don't need your subhanallah. Allah says, this is my karam, blessings, mercies that I have given you permission to recite my name. It's for your benefit. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. There are millions and millions and millions of people who are dying and being buried with the worry of the world. And when they ask, Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? They start giving their bank account balance. They think, oh, the accountants come. The accountants come. Oh, the VAT man's come. Let's hide from him. If they say, we are the angels, we're not the VAT people. We're not HMRC. Yes, we are those asking, who is your Rabb? Man Rabbukum. This is the reality. Has Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was told by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what will happen in the grave, then Hazrat Umar asked a question. He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a very severe part of the life, this will be in the grave. But can I ask you that will Umar at that time, will he have the same worry in the grave like he has now in the dunya about his hereafter?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You'll be in the same position." He said, "Then no worries, I'm prepared. If I have got this worry of my hereafter now, and that will continue with me into the grave, Allahu Akbar, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I can give everything for your teachings, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for your every teaching. So if you know this person, then what will be the answer? What will the answer?" No, but we don't give the right answers. So we have to create the fikr. Not that all night long we look at the drama and we enjoy ourselves and we do bad actions and sins and then we think we've got the fikr of the hereafter. No. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقَعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah says, those people will have the fikr. This is Quran. الَّذِينَ, Allah Ta'ala said, that only those people will have the fikr. Which people? Those people who go into the masjids and did the dhikr of Allah, used to wake up at the hajj, do dhikr, morning time dhikr, evening time dhikr, shop dhikr, eating, cooking, dhikr, the women folk would do dhikr of Allah. Children, school run, and the women are taking them to the school, everyone's going to the school, and they would do dhikr and fikr and worry. And this is reality. When a person does dhikr, then standing, sitting, lying down, walking, talking outside, he's always got worry about his hereafter. Tell me the truth. I'm asking you the question, that is the Quran truth or is our nafs true? What is the truth? That the dhikr of Allah permeates to the root of the heart, then the person's worry changes to another worry. He's in the same dunya, and it doesn't mean that his worry changes to hereafter. He says, "Oh, wife, I detach, I divorce you, or you children forget you. I'm a Sufi now, I'm doing dhikr, I've forgotten you, now I'm not interested in you." No. He's the same person in the same house, but he's not counting the notes, he's remembering Allah. He's looking at the time. Let me finish my work quickly, I've got to pray salah. Got to pray salah. Not just there, that those people, not in the homes, those people who have the fikr of the world, they pray salah at the home. "Oh, this is my masjid now, I've got, oh, I have to do work." No, no, they're waiting the dhakir. They're waiting for the adhan from the masjid. I want to go there quickly, run there with my wudu and pray salah. This is fikr of the akhirah. So when a person does dhikr, the worry of the world is removed and the worry of the hereafter comes into his heart. He lives in the world, does all the same actions, but the worry of the hereafter is in his heart. And when the worries of the world are permeated into the heart of a person, then dhikr of Allah removes them, washes them out, eliminates them, and the worry of the hereafter then comes into the person's life. And the first worry that comes into the person's life is what? So this is their report, accident report. Yeah? I haven't read a book and come here with the preparation. No, this is the Allah Ta'ala, the inspiration, you could say, is coming from there and the speaking is here. Yes? So the first thing that will come out when a person does dhikr of Allah, what will happen? This is from experience I'm telling you. The greatest first result of doing dhikr of Allah will be that where you had worry of maal and money after doing dhikr of Allah, what will happen? The person will first start to think that, why am I sinning? Why do I commit sins? I try my best. Why do I lie? Or, I don't know, why do I, for example, backbite against other people? So he starts to think about these things. So when a person starts doing dhikr, or is doing a lot of dhikr, then the worry of the world starts to reduce, and his first point that comes into his heart and mind is, I need to leave the sins. I'm wasting time. I shouldn't waste time. And doesn't matter what he does, all the actions. So the love of the world starts to reduce, and the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to increase. Then his point moves, his direction focus goes towards Madinatul Munawwarah, Makkatul Mukarramah. Then his heart goes and stops in Makkah, I want to do tawaf. These are the things that are inside, in his heart, the changes that are coming inside, alhamdulillah. Then he doesn't have fikr, oh, I'm going to leave the shop, 10 years I was sitting and I didn't even go and meet my mother due to my shop. Oh, my taxi, I don't make the money, the mother's dying. And she's unhappy. He doesn't even go to India to meet his mother. I can show you. And they die. Oh, I'm so sad. I was just forced to say I couldn't go and visit her. I was stuck in my work, making money. Mother died. Father died. They couldn't go to the janazah even for their parents. This dunya had overwhelmed them. He was so much worried in the world. And see how the worries of the dunya, they are reduced, and the worry of the hereafter increases, and love for Allah increases, and love for the deen increases, and all those things that Allah Ta'ala likes, you start to love them more due to doing dhikr of Allah, and you will dislike those things that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. So your worry has started to change, and the improvement of life comes where you spend the nights talking, gossiping, backbiting. Oh, how are you? What's this? What's that? What did he say? Then you stop thinking and talking like that. You say, oh, let me recite a bit of Quran in the night. And then you start to open the Quran, recite the verses of the Quran, the pages of the Quran, the different juz. And before, maybe very hard it was to recite Yasin. Then he said, let me read Surah Sajdah and Murak and Surah Al-Muzammil. Oh, let's read these as well. Let me recite. This is more. And then his wazif start to increase. The tasbihat start to increase. Does this happen or not? Tell me. Here he's doing dhikr, more dhikr. And as a result, the worry and the noor and the light of the hereafter, the worry of the hereafter comes into that person's heart. So the first result of a person physically, when he does dhikr of Allah, is that he leaves the sins from which Allah Ta'ala is displeased. He says, I want to get out of this trap of the dunya. But there are things that force him to do wrong, maybe his wife or family, children. And he understands that I don't want to do this, but this environment is forcing me to do wrong. So then he can't adjust himself. Oh, let's go on holiday. Your wife says, children says, let's go on holiday. He says that when I reject or I say, no, I don't want to go. It's so hard. Inside the heart saying, no, it's a waste of time. They're inviting me to wasting my time. Does this happen to anyone? Has this happened to you? Oh, let's go to Dubai. Why do I want to go to Dubai? What are we going to do in Dubai? Wasting our time, wandering around, wasting our salah, jama'ah, congregation. So the fikr changes. So when he says, then his wife says, that before you used to say, let's go on holiday, let's go there, and let's wander around, and they used to say, let's go away, let's go shopping, and do this and that. Now what's happened to you today? He said, I don't know what's happened to me. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. My life is improved. My worry has transformed. And the first thing that comes into a person's life, he starts to worry about the sins. Then he creates a good connection with his Rabb. And this is how the system, the effect of dhikr takes place. So when a person starts to worry and fear about his sins and death, then he says, Allah, that's it. That's enough, Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala opens the door for that person. Beautiful door Allah Ta'ala opens for that person. Beloved door of Allah. What is that door? That the person's immersed in the sins and he starts to remember the old days. I used to do this haram. I did this haram. I did this sin. I did this sin and this mistake and I committed all of these errors, and that reel like a film is running in his mind. Then he starts to get afraid or scared. The Allah, I'm afraid of the sins. What's happening? It's overwhelmed my mind. I don't want to do sins anymore. Then Allah Ta'ala opens the door of tawbah, repentance for that person. And then he comes to the maqam and does tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's such a beloved death that his first word on his mouth, he says, Allah, I want to leave the sins. Allah, I want to leave the sins. I want to leave the bad actions. And it's not by force that he's leaving the sins. What made him think like this? The dhikr of Allah. When he does dhikr, his heart improves. Then he does tawbah. Allah's mercy, Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes into being. He says, Allah says, remove all of his sins and make him like a newborn baby today. Now totally, the fikr of his world has changed to fikr of the hereafter. Noor comes into his heart, and dhikr, then he becomes like a bubble of noor, of light, and every action of his, there's a value on it. There's a value, and makhluk, the creation of the world, wants to purchase him. So when I remember an event of Hazrat Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah, these were those people who had tafarakat and worried about the hereafter and how their life improved and changed. He was once walking in Basra and he was wandering through the shopping market, you could say the marketplace, and there was a person selling figs, and he was hungry, Hazrat Malik bin Dirar rahmatullah, and he was traveling, walking, and he stopped there at that stall, and he liked the figs, you understand, the figs, nice fruit, in Basra. And he said to the shopkeeper, the market owner, Hazrat Malik bin Dirar rahmatullah, that, brother, I don't have any money, I want to have some figs. He said, I need money, you need to buy them. He thought, he said, okay, do this. Then take my slippers and give me the figs. Aha, subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. This is the words of the fakir, the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. He said, take my slippers, Hazrat Malik bin Dirar said. He thought, the shopkeeper, he looked at the shoes. He thought, maybe they're new. Maybe they're made out of this good brand, first class, new. Maybe on top he looked like a fakir, torn clothes. But where these new shoes come from? And he can't even pay for these. And how did he get these? And he looked at the shoes, mashallah, there the toes were protruding, they were torn, and there were slits in the shoes, the slippers, and he looked at the figs, he said, these shoes? He said, this is what you're offering to me? He said, Babaji, please, you can go, I cannot give you the figs. He said, okay, it's your choice, fair enough, and he left. After a while, somebody came who had seen this, who had some understanding, there was a man who had some akal. He said, what was this Baba Sahib saying to you, this elder saying to you? He said, oh, Ajib, this man came, he said, I want some figs, I want to eat some figs. He said, you didn't give him any figs? He said, he didn't have any money. He said, money? How can he give you money, Ajib? He said, I'll give you my slippers, you give me the figs. And the man said, huh? Did you accept his slippers? He said, what a bargain you missed out on. Do you not know who this man is? He said, who's he? He said, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh. He said, huh? Is it? Is that wali of Allah? He said, yeah. He ran after him, looking for him, but he had gone by then. He said, that's it. You've lost the opportunity. The price tag of the shoes was there, but you missed it. In the night, he went to sleep, the shopkeeper, and he saw a dream, and then he heard announcement, foolish man, if you had taken those slippers and given him the figs, then today in paradise, you would have had an orchard of figs. The figs would have been in your garden, but you did not know the value of this wali of Allah that you rejected. So this is the human being. How did he become so valuable? Because his bargains were now given transactions of paradise. أَلَذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. Create fikr in your hearts. What a valuable thing it becomes. How beloved it becomes. The universe starts to love that person. The creation, nature starts to love that dhakir. Look, the dhikr of Allah is a great action indeed. A great action. Everything around him starts to like him and love him. What is it that made him like this? He had his slippers, isn't it? He had his slippers he was offering physically. But whose foot was in that slipper? It's not the slipper that was great. It was the wali of Allah, his foot. And Allah Ta'ala loved him and his feet had touched those slippers. They were torn slippers, but the value of the slippers was so great that Allah Ta'ala would have given that person in the paradise the garden of orchard of fig trees. SubhanAllah, fig plants. So I remember a point here. I would like to say something according to our zog and shock and our mashallah keenness. And you will affect and have an understanding of this. That Madinatul Munawwarah, what was it before, brothers? What was Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah? It was Yathrib. And Yathrib was the place of calamities or place of problems, wasn't it? There were issues there. People said that this place, Yathrib, which was Medina before, that it was the place of problems. So how did it become Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah? How did it start to glow and sparkle and shine and transform to a great place? Allahu Akbar. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a Sahih Bukhari hadith, Allahumma hubba alayna Al-Madinah. Kahubbana? Kahubbuna? Ka'aba? Awa shadda? The Prophet of Allah ﷺ stated this in Sahih Bukhari, that Allah, Allah's Nabi ﷺ saying this, that Allah, for me, for us, for all of us, alayna, for all of us, make Medina beloved to you, just like Makkah is beloved to you. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said, oh, shadda, more than this, and more than this, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So what happened to Yathrib? It transformed into Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. Rasulullah's blessed feet came there and it transformed. And here, so here, as Malik bin Dinar's slippers had a high value due to his footstep. And here when Rasulullah came to Yathrib, then it became Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. What a great transformation. What it became, everywhere became great. Such a great dua and such a great prayer of Rasulullah. And if we think that if so much barakah came into his slippers of Malik bin Dinar, then tell me where the great footsteps of Rasulullah must have trod. Then imagine the barakah of Medina. And remember another event, let me tell you about Madinatul Munawwarah. Now let's wander around Madinatul Munawwarah. Subhanallah, there was a pious elder and he was from Karachi. He was an alim, a scholar, and this is his event about Madinatul Munawwarah. This is the dua from the hadith, and this is proven from the hadith, that we have to be very cautious in Medina. This is not a place to make money, brothers, for opening shops, that if we get grabbed then there will be very severe reckoning. So he said that we went on Umrah, and went on Umrah pilgrimage, and he said, I said to my wife that let's make some kakri. Do you understand kakri? It's like cucumber. You get cucumber, similar sort of species you get in Pakistan. Don't know what we say in Gujarat. What do we say? But in Urdu we say kakri. It's like a cucumber type plant, vegetable. She said, kakri, you want to cook this? The wife said this. That can you make a dish, a curry from kakri, from this sort of vegetable? We're musafir and you're talking about this food. He said, no, I feel like that today we're in Medina and I was getting some good kakri today. I want this curry to be cooked today. She said, okay, fine, I'll cook this. So she made the curry and it was very tasty, and she started to eat it as well. She said, wow, subhanAllah, mashallah, I didn't know the people here, that kakri is so nice and tasty here. Such a nice curry can be cooked. Forget the korma and the meat, there's so much enjoyment. The next day he went to another level. The husband, and they had some melon. You know, people eat the melons, and he's picking up the skin, the peel. And the wife said, what's this? He said, today let's have the curry from the skin, the peel of the melons. She said, huh? Ajeeb, weird. I've never heard today, until today, you have curry from the melon peel. And he said, yes, I feel like today I want to eat this. It's a good feeling. I want this. I have this desire. She said, okay. So she peeled the onions and she started to cook and make the dish and the curry. It was so tasty that they ate all of it and finished it. They ate it. It was so tasty. The next day they had to depart and go back to Pakistan. When they went back to Pakistan, then you have that taste of Medina in it for some days, or doesn't it stay? So the dreams, they keep on coming when a person goes to Medina, Makkah. You come back, Gumbad-e-Khizra, Rawda Mubarak, the Jali, the Holy Fence, the lights of Medina. Do dua that we will go together, inshallah. These are the days, the times of acceptance. I will go with you as well. And you are pious people, and this sinner will be with you, and my fortunes will improve with your duas. So he came back, went back home. That same dream, The same dream, that same desire, you could say. He said, let's cook kakdi here. He said, let's cook kakdi here. So his wife said, fine, let's bring it, I'll cook it. Went to the market, bought the kakdi, vegetables came, she cooked, she was cooking the food. When they sat down to eat, then he said, what's this like grass taste? That enjoyment that we had, that dream we fulfilled in Medina, that food we had, I can't taste it. That's it. Then he started to cry. He said, it's not the fault of the vegetable, the kakdi, it's the fault of the place, it's the difference in the place. The Allahumma, Hubbaylayna Medina, this is the dream of Rasulullah for Medina, and everything in Medina, there's barakah, blessings. So my brothers, this is the shan, the greatness of the walis of Allah, because everything is started from there, emanated from there, that the person is fana for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the asar, the effect that is created, that thing, alhamdulillah, the barakah comes into it. Everything, the hair, when you put the hand, the pious elders, the pious predecessors, the walis of Allah, wherever they put the hand, there was barakah, because they had the fikr of doing dhikr of Allah. They looked towards their sins, about their lives, about their sins and defects, and they had fikr and worry, and totally the worry of the world changed into the worry of the akhirah, the hereafter, and they started. So after that, they wouldn't do haram, consume haram, or lie, or fraud, or do wrong actions, and their eyes wouldn't go astray, their hands wouldn't do the wrong actions, their whole life transformed towards goodness, improvement, betterment. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The person, after doing dhikr, starts to think more about hereafter, hereafter. Which people? You and me. Me and you, if we do more dhikr, we'll start worrying about our lives for the hereafter, and what we're going to do in the hereafter. Then Allah Ta'ala says, you will start to think for the hereafter, and have worry about the deen and the hereafter. And what? By doing what? Doing dhikr. Allah says, remember me. So unless we change ourselves, if we don't change ourselves inside our hearts, and bring in the fikr of the akhirah, we cannot improve our lives. Otherwise we'll think about dunya in our dhikr, in our salah, and everywhere. Why? Because our fikr is not changing. Our worries and concerns are not changing. We keep worrying and having concerns about dunya. You can read so much Quran as you want, do hifz and become a qari and a mufassir and a muhaddith and a scholar. But if the fikr of the world is in your heart, then in the hadith you will keep seeking the dunya, like you worry about it. And from the verses of the Quran you will mention dunya. From the hadith you will mention dunya. I'll tell you the reality. But fikr-e-akhirah we will only get from the footsteps of the darvesh, from his shop, from sitting with the wali of Allah, from his majlis. If the person has the fikr-e-akhirah, then you will get the fikr of the akhirah from that person's company. You will attain the worry of the hereafter. When they read the Quran, they'll be worry of the hereafter. Reading hadith, they'll be worry of the hereafter. Then enjoyment will be worry of the hereafter. When they will joke, it'll be the worry of the hereafter. When you go there, that is where the action will emanate. Where will the worry of the qabr and the hereafter will come from? Is the person, the people who do the dhikr of Allah. So alhamdulillah, we are trying a little bit. Are we not trying, my friends? Of course we are walking, talking, sitting. We sit in this majlis, sometimes Masjid Aisha, Masjid Al-Falah, this masjid. We are trying. May Allah Ta'ala bestow us with His mercies and grace, and may Allah Ta'ala give us His grace and mercy, that our fikr changes to the worry of the hereafter. And those who are not doing, they should waken up today, take the tasbih, stop the dramas, and come here into this jama'ah, and bring your belongings with you, your bedding, with the fadl of Allah, for the sake of Allah, and sell yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, change my fikr and worry to the after. I am fed up with this dunya and the worry of the materialism, because I cannot take anything with me from this dunya to the hereafter. If I keep worrying about the world that is stuck to me, I cannot leave with this world with anything, any luggage to the hereafter. Only that will go with me, which is the worry of the hereafter. And when I have the worry of the hereafter, then what will the actions be after that? Subhanallah, great actions. Recitation of Quran, dhikr, adhkar, tabliq, and ta'aleem, and education, propagation of the deen, and so many actions. And with all the good amal, with the worry of the hereafter, we will have these things. Isn't it? This is what happens to a person. Alhamdulillah. The love for Allah increases, the love for Rasulullah increases, love for Medina, love for Makkah, and all of this becomes fikr and worry. But when there's worry of dunya, this is all artificial. Fake, totally artificial. And how foolish we are. There's so much difference in both. So much difference in both. For example, if I say to you that from any one of you or me, if I say that, do you want to become the king? You say, yeah, okay, I'll become a king for a little while. What difference does it make? You'll say this, won't you? Okay, fine, I will listen to you. I'll say, okay, I'll make you a king, but I'll make you the king in the dream, not in reality. You'll become a king in your dreams. When you become a king in your dreams, is there any value of the king? Is he in reality a king? Or properly a king? Because he knows that he's just the king in the dream. When you kick your feet, when you wake up, then you're there on the bed, on the mattress, and you got a bit of a back pain, and the mosquitoes will be biting you. And then, oh, king, what's happening? Oh, he said, I'm just scratching the mosquitoes that have bitten me. And that's it, kingship is finished. Eyes have opened, they haven't even opened, and the kingdom is gone, evaporated, isn't it? Because you're dreaming about being a king. It's not reality. And now there's you, you're sat here, fine, healthy, and you want to become, I said, you want to become a king? Will you become a king? Yeah? So, will you be a king? The way the king walks and talks and spends and does whatever you want? That's the reality. And you, physically, you're not the king because you're in the dream. So now let's come to the other point. This dunya, what is this dunya? It's a dream. It's a dream. And whatever you are making in this dunya, everything you're making, attaining and ending, when we wake up, in reality, Malikul Maut will wake us up at the time of death. Wake up, wake up. When we wake up, there'll be nothing. It'll be like a flash passing in front of eyes. And I'll say, my palaces, my assets. Oh, it was in your dream. Oh, foolish man. Did the palace in your dream ever help you? No. So all of the wandering around in the dunya in the dream, would it help you? It was a dream. The angel of death will remind us that this dunya is a dream. And nothing we earn in this world will help us in the hereafter physically. And we're practicing and earning when we sleep. Do you sleep in the bed with your shop under your armpit, with your money, your mouth is open, you're snoring, and we don't know what is anywhere? That those 5-6 hours of sleep, we don't know anything. Where's my shop? Where's my wife, my children, whatever. Rather, a person has reached to the reality of life and it reverses his life at the time of sleep. The person, when he sleeps, all of his dunya items are not with him. And when a person dies, he goes into the real world. And this world becomes a dream. That king, he's not a king anymore. Even if he was a physical king, he sat there dying and they'll bury him and he's a physical body. He has got nothing to his name. So what should we consider this world? It's a dream. All of the rank, status, glory, money, all of this. Doesn't matter if you've got 10-story building, this is mine. It's a dream. It's a dream, alhamdulillah. And even if you make a straw mud hut of, and mashallah, and you will have Jannah from the, say subhanallah. Even if you have a date plant there in the garden, that's enough for you. Enough for you. And if you, for example, you sow the seed for a tree, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that 100 years if you gallop on a horse under the shade of the tree of paradise, the shade of that tree will not end. And how will we get the tree of paradise? By doing the proper actions in the world for thereafter. But we can't do that. This is called fikr and pondering that the worry of the world is a dream. The assets of the world are a dream. Don't waste your time. Take the tasbih. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah. And your akhirah will keep on being made. Keep on being made. Keep on being constructed. May Allah ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you Hazrat the tawfiq as well. That we can control our concerns and worries and direct them more to the hereafter and constantly have a worry that am I doing this for the akhirah or for the dunya? On every footstep, I should tread a footstep that I'm making something in the hereafter. Whatever I'm making here is temporary. It's a dream. Totally a vision. You can make 10,000, 100,000 in India. Here make malls, shopping centers, big buildings you can make. Whatever you make, one day will come, you will have to leave it here and leave empty-handed, and it will be a mound of soil and dirt, and people will be throwing the dirt and the soil on top of our bodies in the grave. No palace will go with us. No house will go with us. And when the death will come, this life will stop and end, the reality will come. The person who constructed the palaces in the hereafter, Jannah in the hereafter, the rivers in the hereafter, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that whoever follows and obeys me and my Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. That I will enter them people into paradise. What will happen? Aha, rivers flowing beneath their homes. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِي الْأَنْهَارِ. Allahu Akbar, that rivers will be flowing forever and ever. This is it. And the person who rejects this, what will be his consequence? يُعَذِّبُهُ. He will be getting punishment. You'll get permanent, ongoing punishment. Look at the two opposites here. In the Quran, Allah has mentioned this. So these are the two worries we must create. We must create the figure. Always there should be Jannah being constructed with our seconds and actions, or the mall, or the shopping center, or the construction of houses. No, we have the worry of the hereafter. We need to construct. Every second we should be constructing in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala says, practice and spend time and worry for this world, the amount of time you're going to live in this world. You work from morning to night, £200 you earn. You say, what can I buy with this £200? Then you go and buy items. You work so hard, so much, and you're sweating, and you're breaking your back to earn. To buy one thing, you have to earn so much money, isn't it? To buy a house, to make a house, the whole life is spent making a house. And you have to deceive and take interest and fraud and lie to make one house, isn't it? And there, which is the permanent house, the permanent abode, eternal. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-adhim. Allah says, once you recite this, just say this once. And see what you make in paradise. Subhanallah. What a difference. So light and easy and so tasty and enjoyable and beautiful the hereafter, and permanent, eternal, complete. decorated, furnished palace. And when the people go, they won't have a qabr in the grave, they won't have a ditch of soil and dirt. No, there'll be lights in the grave, sparkle, glow, carpets, rugs, subhanAllah, food and dishes, and the person according to his taste. Some people will be praying, some will be people will be reciting Quran. You can hear from the graves, and it will be a grave of dirt and soil, but you can hear the recitation of the Quran. Why? Because they collected their deeds. That he had the fikr and the worry for the hereafter. He wasn't worried about money in the world. Whatever was made monetarily, assets, fine. In line, in parallel with preparing for the hereafter. And here you sat for a second. We are sat, Allahu Akbar, what do we earn? That hadith, I think, have I recited to you about tafakkur, about thinking and pondering, and what has Rasulullah SAW said about pondering about Allah, thinking about Allah, and about the hereafter? What has Allah's Nabi SAW said? That tafakkaru sa'ata. This is the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Tafakkaru sa'ata. One moment of tafakkur, one moment of thinking, pondering, worrying, reflecting about our hereafter, just thinking about what? Akhirah, hereafter. Tafakkur sa'ata khairun min, it is better than what? Better, listen to these words, great words, the greatest words. That is better than 1 year of complete ibadah worship. If a human being thinks for 1 second that what is going to happen to me in my hereafter, how valuable is the action of fikr, tafarruqat, thinking. And once it's stated that 70 times afzal, 70 times more. The one person, if he thinks that I'm wasting my time, I should do tawbah, I'm committing sins. And you, if you think like this, that how much is it impossible? How impossible it is, subhanAllah, that today in this day and age, if we say this, the sahaba were amazed at the time, that will a time come that Muslims, it will be so hard for them to think about thereafter, so much reward, that will the Muslims be such a nation that they won't even have a second to think about thereafter, that why will I show my face to Allah in thereafter? The sahaba, wallahi, let's look today. There are millions of people who have no worry about thereafter, no worry. From morning till night, our life passes. Morning to night, millions, billions are going to their graves. But we never thought in our lives, sitting down, that what will happen in my qabr, in my grave. We don't have the time. We are worried about dunya, business, transactions. Money makes us so busy, it buries us in the dunya, that in our lives we don't even get a chance once. One sa'a. Tafakru sa'ati khayrun min. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sahih al-Bukhari hadith, ulama karam, scholars are sat here, that one moment of worry, ponder about the hereafter, about the hereafter. And when does this come into the heart? When does this moment come? When that person does the dhikr of Allah. When that person remembers Allah. This is the reason. Have we seen how valuable is this reward of dhikr? This hadith was going from my mind. How great is this reward Allah Ta'ala has given to us? And to think, I will tell you the color, the effect of thinking. When a person remembers Allah, what is the color, the effect of the worry of the hereafter? What's the effect? What is this thinking and worrying and pondering? And this is called maraqabah. Dhikr in the heart. This is maraqabah. Yes, when a person is maraqib, and he removes the world from his heart and mind, and he does maraqabah, worrying about the hereafter, then his development of the worry of the hereafter starts. When a person does dhikr in the heart, is 70 times greater than the physical dhikr of the mouth. Such a beautiful hadith, such a great reward of the dhikr of Allah, that by doing dhikr, we become capable, that not 1 second we waste. We sit for a second, we think, I shouldn't have done this sin. Or he starts thinking, I shouldn't waste my life. My life is passing. What am I doing? What will I do in the grave? That if a person today, it doesn't even come to his mind to sit, to empty himself and for 5 minutes. What is a sa'ah? It's a moment. Just a second. Few seconds, you're driving your car, actions, you're driving a car, music is blaring. Just 1 second, shaitan has not left us. There's not even a blank space on the line where shaitan has left us devoid or left us without worry of the dunya and enjoyment of the dunya. And we see no barakah. That due to the sins, that the days are so short nowadays, the nights are so short, time passes so quickly, we can't realize when is fajr, when is asr, when is this prayer, what are we doing? And I don't even realize that are we in the summer or the winter? There's so less barakah in the time. When I came to this country 40, 50, 60 years ago, then it was ajeeb. It was cold. I don't know if it's cold. Time's passing quickly. Is it summertime now, wintertime, autumn time? Wallahi, we don't realize nowadays. The time passes so much. We can't see that. We can't even fulfill our mamulat, our dhikr that we need to do, our ibadah. Is it night coming or is it day? Barakah's gone. We are devoid of barakah today. Why? Because we are so ungrateful to Allah that not even a second is left for us to sin. So many things and actions and sins that shaitan has invited us towards, that he doesn't allow us to think about. Ta'ala for a second. Let me make this pound now. Let me earn this much now. I'll do this action now. And then this much, if I do this, then this will happen. The whole day passes like this. The whole day. And there's no time. And if I remember the time for Salah, I'll just stand and prostrate like a bird bopping up and down. And I think I've done a big ibadah. Such that ibadah will be thrown in our face because we're not concentrating and focusing on Allah and our hereafter. So am I right or am I wrong? Have you seen this? That time? And this is the hal or not? Tell me. The wall we know, morning, go to work, come back. Morning, go to work, come back. Evening, eat, drink, work. We don't know what's happening between. Salah, if I prayed in between, maybe I prayed. Otherwise, it's not in our program of life for preparation for the hereafter. It's not in our program of life to do ibadah. I tell you, this is the reality. In our lives, is shop, business, and profit, and forecasts, and not deen, and not ibadah, and maybe forget the time, I'll do it. If not, then I'm not going to do it. This is our reality. That how sad a life we are passing, my friends. Where's our life going? Where's it going towards? Yes, we're going towards the qabr, but we're not taking anything for the hereafter with us. My friends, we every day someone's died, this person died, this person's accident, 5 went, 7 went, 8 died, all went together. Every day we're, so should we not start to think and prepare for our own maut? Yes, we should think about life. These days and nights are passing quickly. Life is not a waste of time. We should have the worry of the hereafter overwhelming the worry of everything. We look at children, they're wasting their time. Whoever we see, when we look at them, for example, that is like a storm that is brewed and the world is moving fast. Someone's going here, this child's going there, this person's going there. Oh, 5 p.m. we went, I'll come back 6 p.m. 7 p.m. is coming. Oh, I've got to go here now. Got to go there. We don't know the time is passing. Where's that person's mind? That we're like mad people. We sleep, wake up and run around. We've even left eating. Oh, takeaways now. We're so busy. We stand and eat in the takeaway. We don't even cook food in the house. The children have stopped eating the food of the house. Oh, takeaway. Okay, said folk. Yeah, let's go to the takeaway. They stop eating the food at home. The taste has gone from the food at home. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? The demand of the children, we have to eat. Father's happy, mother's happy. Oh yeah, we don't have to cook now. Who's going to buy the onions? Who's going to peel the onions? Who's going to cut them, cook them? Oh, let's make some money. Let's make some profit. Oh, let's watch a TV program. We ain't got time to cook. There's no time for family life. Many people, I say, why don't you come to dhikr? What's the reason? Oh, we don't have the time, Hazrat. It's so busy, I try. There's no one to work for us, no staff. So I'm busy in the shop, my wife's there, I've got to pack the stock, my wife's with me, the children are there. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbi ma atubu ilayh. This is dunya. And in this state is our coming, not our great, great fortune. Say it loudly, Subhanallah. SubhanAllah. And you are also from that qawm, the same people. We are humans, but we have the pain in our heart, the concern that we should go towards Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Allah Ta'ala said, come on. Now let's move further now. Let's move further. That what is our manzil? Tafakkarat must change. Our pondering, thinking, reflecting, worrying must change from the worry of the world to the worry of the hereafter. Maut is coming. Death is coming. Questions will be asked to me. Every action of mine, I'll be questioned. I'll be questioned. And those things that I'm running after, I will be asked that what answer will I give? What face will I show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will I do? There was a person with me before he's left. My mother was in front of me, she's died. My father was in front of me, he used to sit with me, he's died. We used to speak with my parents and they've passed away. They've gone. Like Iqbal Sahab's father, he was fine, healthy, mashallah, and he was walking nice, healthy. He was a smart man. Smart man, always I used to praise him, mashallah, he looked youthful. Exuberance of youth. And he was ill, etc. But dunya, a person looks like he's bouncing around, he's totally fine, then he totally goes, suddenly. So we should have the fikr, the worry, but we're running after one pastime. Dunya, 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 dunya. And this is our dream, and this is the reality. Dunya is a dream, hereafter is reality. So our reality is to say subhanAllah once, and you get the hereafter, the tree. That one moment a person sits in the dhikr of Allah, he will get the reward of doing ibadah. 1 year completed, accepted ibadah, you will get the reward if you sit down for a second and ponder about the hereafter, worry about the hereafter. This is the barakah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.